Welcome to Pastor to Pastor, a ministry podcast with Pastor Mike Stone of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. More information is available at PastorMikeStone.com. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome back. This is Mike Stone, and I'm so glad you could join us again for this episode of Pastor to Pastor. This podcast is a weekly time of practical insight and information from my heart as a pastor in a local church. I've served for nearly 25 years at the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. That's the heart of Southeast Georgia. And I've also been privileged to serve in many places in the Georgia Baptist and Southern Baptist conventions. Now, today's episode is going to address several matters related to the SBC. As we head toward our annual meeting in just a couple of weeks in Nashville, Tennessee, I want to take some time today to sort of do a smorgasbord type of episode and just open up the mailbag and deal with some of the questions I've received from Southern Baptists over the last several months. As a candidate for SBC president, I've received numerous questions, some by messages on social media, text messages, emails, and of course, phone calls, and an awful lot of questions in person. I've been invited over the last few months to speak to pastors and other leaders on numerous occasions, and I've listened to Southern Baptists in practically every state, from Florida up to New England, from my home state of Georgia out to the West Coast in California, and even some Southern Baptist leaders in Hawaii. And it seems as if there are similar questions and concerns on the hearts and minds of Southern Baptists everywhere. Now, today's episode may seem a bit disjointed as I just move quickly from topic to topic, and I try to stay in about a 15-minute time limit, but I think this will be some time well spent. Before we get to those questions and answers, let me first remind you that as part of this podcast, I like to share information that will help the busy, volunteer, and bivocational pastor in the daily challenge of pastoring and shepherding the local church. And one of the ways I do that is by providing some free sermon outlines. And the one I'm dropping in the episode notes today is a simple outline, really kind of a sermon starter, that I labeled, "Of Such is the Kingdom of God." It's based on the time that the disciples tried to prevent the little children from coming to the Lord Jesus. And in each of the Synoptic Gospels, our Lord said, "Let the little children come to me and do not prevent them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And with Vacation Bible School, Kids Camp, Student Camp, and all the things that our churches do in the summer to reach children and young people, Pastor, I thought it might be a helpful resource for you as you try to encourage your church to give more, serve more, participate more, and pray more about your church's effort to bring children and students to Christ. On that point, a personal prayer request. Our church here at Emmanuel is having kids camp next week. We call it Champ Camp. It's a community day camp, and it's provided free to all first through ninth graders. And so we have literally hundreds registered to come, and many of them are unchurched. With a day camp that provides all day service and ministry, along with free breakfast and free lunch, you can just imagine the outreach potential that is to our community. So if the Lord brings our church to your mind next week, I'd be very grateful for your prayers. Personally, I'll be speaking four times a day, so it's going to be a very busy week. But personally, this camp being the week before the Southern Baptist Convention is a very timely reminder about the real important things as we minister to others and serve the Lord Jesus at, in, and through the local church. And now I want to take some time to answer the questions that I've repeatedly received from Southern Baptists. And by the way, most of the meetings that I've done have been live streamed, so you can find those online if you have a desire to do that. I've done my very best to be open and transparent about the concerns I have and the emphases that I would have if elected to be the next president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Let me begin with less of a question and really more of a statement. I've made no apology that my number one emphasis will be on evangelism. Last week on this podcast, I mentioned that the theme of my potential presidency would be called Crossover America. And I've spoken about that emphasis literally from the very day that I announced my candidacy. I speak of it in every interview, every pastor's gathering, and it's the subject of the first two episodes of this Pastor to Pastor podcast. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that subject here in this Q&A episode, but I couldn't begin my list of questions and concerns without mentioning the importance of Southern Baptists getting back on mission to see lost people come to faith in Christ. I strongly encourage messengers to this year's annual meeting. Again, just a couple of weeks away. Please be in the hall for the executive committee report, and please, please, please give your full undivided attention and support to a new initiative called Vision 2025. We must do whatever we can to turn our hearts and our attention back to the Great Commission. And now, without a doubt, the number one question that I've received when I've met with pastors and leaders across the country is related to critical race theory. I've written and spoken about that extensively, so I'll be relatively brief here. And just to state that I believe that Resolution 9 was a strategic misstep and mistake for the Southern Baptist Convention. It formally introduced a divisive theory into the conversation of the SBC, and in the last 24 months, I believe that CRT has done exactly what it was designed to do. It has divided our convention among largely ethnic lines and brought about name-calling and accusations of racism and white supremacy. The Southern Baptist Convention is not filled with racists, neo-Confederates, and white supremacists, but you would have never known that to read much of SBC's social media over the last 2 years. I recently announced to Southern Baptist that I'm the primary author of a resolution recently submitted to the 2021 Resolutions Committee. It's titled, On the Incompatibility of Critical Race Theory and Intersectionality with the Baptist Faith and Message. I was joined in that submission by well over 1,000 official co-submitters. And while I know the resolution could have been much more technical, I set out to draft a resolution that was simple, understandable, and would garner the widest level of support. And I think in this discussion, it's also important that we once again reaffirm our belief that all forms of discrimination are violations of the Word of God and of the fact that all human beings are literally related by blood and were each and every one created in the image of God. Now, that resolution can be found online, including on each of my social media pages, so I'll just simply say here that I'm prayerful that Southern Baptists will address this matter clearly, carefully, and compassionately. Now, the next topic I've been asked about extensively involves the debate going on related to complementarianism. And once again, I've spoken about and written extensively on this question, including, I think it was episodes 9 and 10 of this podcast. I also wrote a lengthy article for the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. That's an article that is linked on my personal website at PastorMikeStone.com. So once again, in the interest of time, I'll just say here that I believe a church with a female pastor is operating outside our parameters of friendly cooperation. I recognize that SBC churches do not have to affirm the Baptist faith and message in order to be considered in friendly cooperation, but I believe this is an issue that the SBC must address, and I think we would be well advised to address it formally, lovingly, carefully, and biblically. And although I will defer once again to the more extensive writing and speaking I've done on this subject, I want to say once more that I'm convinced that a lot of the soft complementarianism that many prominent voices have advocated in recent years, I think that's actually part of the problem, not part of the solution. And I think the SBC needs a president who can speak with grace and who will speak with clarity on this issue. Now, more recently, I've been asked about the new proposed business and financial plan coming out of the SBC Executive Committee. Messengers to the annual meeting will have to vote on this business and financial plan. First, I want to get out of the way right up front. I am a member of the Executive Committee and the immediate past chairman. And the referral from the convention for us to reconsider this update came to the Executive Committee while I was still serving as the chairman. The referral allowed 2 full years to respond. So at that time, based on the workload before the Executive Committee and the subsequent cancellation of the 2020 annual meeting, it was determined that we would wait until 2021 to bring this matter back to the convention. The plan was approved by the Executive Committee in a special called Zoom meeting last month. And because of my previous ministry schedule, some things here at the church and in my life personally, I was not able to attend that special meeting. As one that appreciates the value of the committee's collective work, I'm hesitant to speak negatively about the recommendation, but I do feel obligated to share a couple of very real concerns. Now, one concern is with the proposal itself, and the other is with some of the reaction to the proposal. Let me begin with that second concern first, because when I share my concern about the reaction to this proposal, that will really help frame my response to the first concern. If you listen to certain messages from some corners of the convention, you would get the impression that the new business and financial plan is a desire to provide cover for corruption and malfeasance on the part of Southern Baptist leadership. And frankly, I think Southern Baptists need to be above this kind of pejorative, accusatory language. I need not impugn someone's motive, character, or integrity in order to disagree with certain recommendations. For example, and I just want to illustrate this for Southern Baptists, one recommendation with which I disagree is that financial inquiries would now be made by churches and not by individual church members. To be clear, I think that's a step in the wrong direction, but there is a legitimate reason behind it, namely that churches, not individuals, give to the cooperative program. And the idea is that a request from a church is actually a stronger form of request than that from an unknown individual. Now, once again, I do not think the change is needed. Our entities have not been inundated with some unmanageable number of requests, and I think it sends an unfortunate message to the convention at a time when so many are asking for more transparency and not less. But my disagreement with that part of the recommendation does not require me to accuse the executive committee and its leadership of somehow trying to suborn corruption and malfeasance. Southern Baptists need to do better at how we express our disagreements. And frankly, I think it's more becoming of a Southern Baptist leader to be able to say things like, "I think this recommendation is ill-advised, though I'm confident it was well-intended." But let me speak now to the larger concern I have with the proposal, and I want to share it in the same spirit of grace that I've just talked about. I believe the conflict of interest section misses a real opportunity to address a concern held firmly by many Southern Baptists, and it's been a topic of discussion in nearly every meeting that I've attended over the last few months. The current recommendation, the proposed amendment, would allow trustees to have business dealings with the entity upon whose board they sit so long as it is disclosed to the full board of the entity and so long as it doesn't violate a conflict of interest policy set by the entity itself. Now, I believe the intention is to actually strengthen and improve on our current practice. An entity may have internal policies that review possible conflicts of interest by its own officers. That is, a small group of the board would review that possible conflict of interest. So I think this proposal is a desire to shed more light on those discussions and not less light, because the full board, that is, the plenary discussions of our entity boards, are usually held in public settings. So that proposed change would actually enhance the idea of disclosure and transparency. But I personally believe that this proposal maintains what the average Southern Baptist would see as a discrepancy between the business and financial plan and SBC Bylaw 15F, which clearly states that no trustee or their spouse can receive any form of payment or financial benefit except for reimbursements, and that when these payments are received, that person or that person's spouse shall be considered as having resigned from the board, and their vacancy shall be filled by the convention. That's the language from the SBC bylaws. This new recommended proposal would codify the right of the entity board to write its own internal exception policy and would allow board members to receive financial benefit from the entity upon whose board they sit so long as the full board approves of it. Now, not to get overly bogged down in the weeds, let me just simply say this. As well-intentioned as that may be, I believe it's a slightly better way to do something that we should not be doing at all. With 14 million Southern Baptists, I mean, even if we just count the 4 million or so that actually attend our services on a weekly basis, let's just find some trustees who do not have business deals with the entity upon whose board they sit. And I hope I can illustrate this for you, even in this discussion, that we should be able to question the recommendation without questioning the character and the integrity of the good men and women of the executive committee who have recommended it. Now, the next item I want to address is a much more recent question about the power and authority of the SBC president. I've been asked a few times lately if I would use the president's office to demand or require or insist of certain things from the entities of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I do not think it's possible for me to be any more clear than what I'm about to share with you. I cannot make such commitments because the SBC president does not have the power to demand, require, or insist on anything from our entities. Such claims are not only beyond the SBC Constitution, but bluntly, they're beyond Southern Baptist polity. Southern Baptists are not going to Nashville to elect a pope, but a president. And by our own ecclesiology, we have a great disdain for such a consolidation of power. The Southern Baptist Convention presidency has real but limited authority. There are certainly things that a president can address, and I commit to address, by virtue of what might be called the bully pulpit. But the president's main influence over the direction of the SBC is through helping to establish the theme of the annual meeting and through the president's appointment powers. And I've made very clear commitments every time that I've spoken on this issue that I will seek to bring about the ultimate election by the convention of trustees who share the emphases that I've talked about literally all over the country, namely a renewed focus on evangelism, a commitment to the sufficiency of Scripture, and a desire and a commitment to see greater transparency and greater involvement from more, not fewer, Southern Baptists. And the last issue I want to address, at least for today, is a question, comments that I receive about the cooperative program. Now, once again, I've talked about and written about this extensively, including episode 11 of this podcast, and in a recent interview with the Christian Index, the Kentucky Today paper, all of which is available on my personal website and linked in today's show notes. Let me simply just say this. The cooperative program is in decline to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. And I don't think the average Southern Baptist has really started wrapping their mind around that reality. So let me say it again as plainly as could be stated. The cooperative program is in decline to the tune of tens of millions of dollars. And Southern Baptists need a president in this hour who is a local church pastor that has demonstrated a long commitment to the cooperative program. The church I've served for nearly a quarter of a century has given an average of over 9% of undesignated receipts through the cooperative program. And I understand personally the challenges that a local church and a local church pastor will face in keeping a number like that at a historically high level. It was about a decade ago Southern Baptists affirmed the idea of Great Commission giving. And we should be very grateful for every dollar given to Southern Baptist mission causes in any way in which it is given. The Southern Baptist Convention does not have any biblical right to a single penny that comes into the offering plates of the Southern Baptist congregations. But local church pastors understand the importance of giving through the budget. That's the avenue of giving that lifts all ministries together. And frankly, giving through the CP allocation budget or the budget of your local church, that's the kind of giving that most clearly acknowledges and respects the wishes of the entire assembly that approve that annual budget. In days of record decline in both dollar amount and congregational participation in the cooperative program, the Southern Baptist Convention needs a president who is a CP champion. Later this week on this podcast, I want to start unpacking some of the specifics of my evangelism strategy that I've labeled Crossover America, and I hope you'll join me then. But for now, in the interest of time, that'll wrap it up for this episode. Pastor, please don't forget that in the show notes, there's a link to a free sermon outline on the Lord's ministry to children. And if you can use that this weekend or some other time this summer or out in the future, I pray it will be a blessing to you, to your church, and to your ministry. In the meantime, this is Pastor Mike Stone asking you to subscribe to this podcast, share the link of it with a friend, and make plans to join me each time as we sit down and simply visit Pastor to Pastor.